Hello, hello, hello. This is Coach Fav for Casinos USA Podcast, and welcome to our late February 2022 podcast, episode 128, Best Year Ever. And of course, we're talking about 2021. And let me begin by just saying, it's strange to say what I just said, best year ever, amidst the highest inflation rate in 30 years. And of course, the pandemic is still winding down. And some of our listeners may have lost someone because of that pandemic. But we're not talking about those kinds of issues. We're talking about the status of America's casinos. And it's an absolute fact. If we're looking at the casinos in terms of their revenue in 2021, it was a record-setting year. Not just a good year. It was a record-setting year. Casinos in the United States totaled more than $53 billion in 2021. And that is indeed, factually, the best year ever for casinos. The American Gaming Association, which is the gambling industry's national trade group, released these figures recently. And surprising to me, in-person gambling continues to be the main source of revenue for the industry. Even though internet online legal betting continues to grow, of course it does. But the $53 billion won by casinos is more than 21% higher than the previous year. And what that means is that gamblers really have not been deterred from visiting a casino in person, even though the pandemic is still going on. Obviously, there's highly contagious variants of the virus surging in some areas. Of course, they seem to be retreating now, but over 2021, they were surging. So the casinos have spent millions and millions on health and safety protocols, and they've done everything I think they can do with plastic shields, required face mask, hygienic practices, everybody in a casino, people that come in. But considering all that, it didn't stop people from gambling. And I have to admit, I was one of them. It's been almost a year since I received the initial COVID injection, almost 365 days ago from this podcast. And as soon as I got it, I just said to myself, hey, I'm a free bird. I'm not going to spend my life hiding away. And I find out now that I wasn't totally protected as I thought I was. But you might say I was even foolish. But I was out there when the Meadows reopened to in-person gambling after the pandemic. I was the second person in that morning, the Meadows Casino in Western Pennsylvania in Washington County. And, you know, I was really the first person, but a lady came in a walker, and of course, you know, her picture was going to be taken. Whoever was in first, the Pittsburgh paper was going to take your picture. And I saw that she was struggling with that walker. Was the goodness. I said, ma'am, you go in first. You know, I didn't have to suffer like you did coming here with that walker. And all, she said, oh, thank you. So she didn't get a prize, but she got her picture taken. So I really don't need that. But I was the second person in when the pandemic, our governor here in Pennsylvania said, okay, you can go back to the casinos. All right, sports betting, though, whether it's made in a sports book or online legally, continued its rapid growth. And there was more than $57 billion wagered legally on games last year. And that's an increase. Can you imagine this? Of 165% from 2020. Of that total, casinos and race sports books saw nearly $4.3 billion in revenue. That's up 177%. $4.3 billion in revenue from the sports books. Well, another reason that the sports books went up, there was some, you know, more states came on board. New sports betting markets in Arizona, Connecticut, Louisiana, Maryland, South Dakota, Virginia, and Wyoming. I don't know what's going on with Maryland, but their sports books in the casinos are not open yet. And I don't even think there's legalized gambling online in Maryland, but they're supposed to be. I don't know what the holdup is there. And of course, in 2022, I think it's going to be even better because there's going to be the launch of mobile sports betting, online betting in Louisiana and New York. And so far in 2022. They've brought in over $2 billion in 2 months. So it's nice to know that the casino industry is healthy. There are so many industries that are not. And, of course, many businesses failed during the shutdowns, and some of them didn't come back. But here's the thing to remember. Although we celebrate that the casino industry is so healthy, and we expect 2022 to be even a record-setting year beyond 2021, it does affect us. It's beginning to affect us in a negative way. Hey, and my first example is the American Casino Guide, which is not published this year. The American Casino Guide had a breakdown of all the casinos in the country, state by state, very organized, very professional. But they said they could no longer get the coupons, you know, from the coupons that casinos give out to promote their place. Like, for example, 2-for-1 buffet, even though there's only 12 buffets open in Las Vegas. $10 free play. Get one night free for every two nights you book at a hotel. You know, those kinds of coupons were very popular. And Anthony Curtis, the author, editor of the Las Vegas Advisor newsletter, said that, you know, he had a hard time, a really challenging time, and he's lived in Las Vegas for more than 20 years, and he had a personal relationship. The American Casino Guide author editors live in Florida, so I can understand they don't necessarily have that up-close personal relationship with casino managers in Las Vegas. But Anthony Curtis does, and in his YouTube videos promoting the Las Vegas Advisor newsletter and other things that they offer, he said he just had a devil of a time trying to get some of the coupons in his rewards book. I just sent for mine, by the way. I just sent for mine a few days ago. But he's had a devil of a time, and he said, you know, he some of the people just said no. And, you know, the marketing managers in the casinos were basically saying to him, we don't need to do this anymore. We're making more money than we ever have. You know, some of these casinos never really brought their full staff back. At first, they wouldn't come, and the casinos realized we can run this business without them. So there's a lot of things at work here, and it seems to be a very good thing, you know, from a distance, that the casinos are doing so well financially. But, however, their willingness to comp is not as, I don't know, available as it once was. And another example I would have is that so many casinos charge for parking. So, you know, it goes on and on. It seems like they're trying to get, you know, squeeze every ounce out of the lemon. And, of course, we're the lemon. So congratulations to America's casinos on a record-setting year. But don't forget about the people who got you there, the people that stayed with you during these dark times of the pandemic. You know, let's treat everyone a little better. Don't get so tight with your comps and your promotions. And I know they all don't, so I don't want to, you know, castigate every casino manager, but the point is, it's much harder now than it once was. And let's go back to spreading the wealth a little bit, and because you could destroy what you have. You know, Anthony Curtis has said openly that it's not going to get any better until people stop coming to Las Vegas, and that doesn't seem like it's going to happen. So I expect, as he does, casino comps are going to be a little harder to get in 2022 than they once were. There is another area of this thing with casinos, though, that is very important, and that is what happens in the state. You know, it's state by state. But what happens in the state where the casino is with the taxes? Like, who do the taxes on casinos help? I can tell you that the state of Pennsylvania, where the podcast is originating from, Western Pennsylvania specifically, but our state and PA taxes the living hell out of casinos much more than Nevada does with its over 400 casinos. So I can just talk about where the money goes tax-wise in Pennsylvania, and it really goes to help older Pennsylvanians. There's tremendous benefits. For example, there's tax rebates on helping the senior citizens stay in their homes. There's more than 225, make that 222.5 million in rebates to more than 466,000 households. So that's just not, you know, a casual thing. It's very important. The casino industry in Pennsylvania also provides more than 20,000 jobs. And that's another reason, you know, around the country for us to be happy about the strong position financially of the casinos, because they won't be, you know, turning people out. They need people there, right? There's 500 million annually with in-state suppliers, you know, people that supply things that casinos use. So all these things we're talking about in Pennsylvania, they generate so much money. Here's an example. The Pennsylvania receives, can you imagine this? 57% of slot machine revenues from the casinos. Not 5%, not 10% of the profits, but 57% of the slot machine revenues. My goodness. So we don't want your taxation to be something you don't think of. So I always tell myself, I'm helping somebody when I go to a casino, and not just the casino management, you know? Not just the gaming company that owns the casino. I'm helping people in my state with their taxes on their homes. Oh, my. So check out where your state sends the tax revenue. It's sort of interesting. Well, let's take a short break and come back for part two of today's podcast. Well, the Super Bowl was over, and I'm sure that many of our listeners put a little money on the game, may I say, and also some prop bets. And if you follow the podcast, I just had a absolutely terrible year with NFL betting, my worst ever. So I'm sort of celebrating now because of FanDuel. I wasn't a member of FanDuel, neither was Janie. We used the Pittsburgh Rivers app. That's the only one we used. You know, we didn't want to spread our checking account and routing numbers all around the way you can do with online betting. Of course, you can use credit cards to do that too, but we didn't. We wanted the money deposited right into our checking accounts when we won. You know? So, and we did okay in previous years. You know, we made money, but not this year in the NFL. However, we're the comeback kids because of FanDuel. They had a promotion for new players, and it seems almost too good to be true, but it was true. You could bet $5. You had to deposit $10 in a FanDuel account online, you know, under your name. So one was me and one was my wife, Janie, right? Two different accounts. Only a $10 deposit. And you had to bet $5 on either team, either Cincinnati or the LA Rams. And so we just bet opposite. I bet the Rams and she bet Cincinnati. But FanDuel, the odds were such that $5, if you won, paid you $280 plus your $5 back. So for $5, you got $285. Well, the Rams won, so that was me. Of course, I'm going to split this with Janie. That was our deal. But I also made two prop bets, and they both hit. I picked the MVP Cup. I think that was 5-1. I put some money on that, and I also picked that defensive lineman Aaron Donald and Miller would have more than one sack each, and I won those two props bets. So I received $384, which will be split with my partner Janie. So I just had to get that in there. I hope you did well with your sports betting. We did not go to a sports book, although there's some very attractive ones in our area to watch the game. We decided to watch the game at home this year. We even didn't attend a private party, which, you know, we could have, but we didn't. We stayed home and behaved ourselves. But I really enjoyed the game. Because I was guaranteed to win, I was sort of rooting for Cincinnati and Joe Burrow, but certainly the Rams had a tremendous drive late. Cincinnati had a chance to close it out in their next to last possession, all they needed was to get 2 first and 10s. They got 2 first and 10s, but they needed 2 more, and they had to give the ball back to Los Angeles. But, you know, even with 2 minutes to go, they still had a lead. Anything could have happened, you know, a fumble, somebody stripping the ball, also an interception, but it didn't. The Detroit quarterback who came to L.A., Stafford, Matt, had a tremendous drive, and, of course, the winner was Kupp, and he got the MVP because of it. Donald certainly could have been the MVP of the Super Bowl because, particularly in the fourth quarter, he really came to life and put so much pressure on the Cincinnati quarterback that it was challenging for Cincinnati to dominate the way they did. But they did dominate the game in the second half until the middle of the fourth quarter. And then the Rams began to show some life because their offense, particularly their running game, just didn't exist. And they made a first down on a tremendous play design by Kupp's, the wide receiver, you know, getting the ball and running for a 1st and 10 on a 4th and 1. If they hadn't made that, the game literally would have ended because that was just all Cincinnati would have had to do was just kneel down and they would have won the game. But that's not what happened. And if you're interested, the Nevada Gaming Control Board said on February 14th with a letter that released to the public, there was over $179 million in wages, and the win percentage for the casinos was 8.6%. And of course, Los Angeles won the Super Bowl 23-20, but that amount of money is a record for the sports books. And you might be surprised by the 8.6% hold win for the casinos, the sports books in Nevada. But what it was is the Rams won the game, but if you bet the spread bet on the Rams, you lost because they did not beat the points. They had to win by more than 4 points, and they didn't. They only won by 3. So that was the problem. And so I'm sure thousands and thousands of Cincinnati fans who bet on the spread, they were disappointed they lost the Super Bowl, but they weren't disappointed that they won the bet they made. But that really helped the sports books to have this big win of 8.6%. So congratulations to the sports books, as well as the people who won money on Super Bowl bets. Okay, one more part today. We're going to come back for Craps Talk. And if you're a craps player, don't leave because we have some important things for you to consider. All right, we'll be right back for Crabs Talk.
3, 2, 1.
Well, first I want to talk just in a very general way about there's so many systems that are coming out, and you know, you find them on YouTube. My favorite's always by Jeremy Ellerick of Color Up. I think he does a tremendous job, but there's some other good ones too. And it's fun to use systems, but I'm not lockstep with every system. I might try a system and then either put my own spin on it or stop playing it if it's not working. And I think you should have that kind of flexibility. Don't go in and say, I'm going to just play to oblivion, right? I know people that used to drink to oblivion, but there are people who gamble who also gamble to oblivion instead of changing what they're doing. But you know, the principle that I think you should always embrace is bet more when you're winning and bet less when you're losing. Don't chase your losses. So when things are trending your way, you bet more, right? And when things are not, you stay at the minimum bets. That's my best advice, and I think that's really something that could stay with you and keep you playing at the table much longer than otherwise. But one of the things that bothers me about some of the new systems, I call them place, regress, place, press, regress, place, press, whatever, is simply this. It seems like they have a disdain for the best betting craps. Ooh, for pass line players, the best betting craps mathematically for pass line players is the odds bet behind the pass line. You know, you can add to your pass line bet, odds bet, or you can subtract it between rolls, you know, for whatever reason. You can pick it up. So, you know, they'll say, well, place bets have more flexibility. Well, I'm just telling you, you can take your, without even saying a thing to the dealer, not doing a roll, of course, but between rolls, you can pick up your odds bet behind the line. They can't stop you. And you can put it back, you know, one chip at a time. Well, why would you do that? Well, I make a habit of doing it. I can't come off the pass line. I can't say I'm off. I mean, that's a contract bet. But if the dice go off the table, I generally say all my place bets are off, my hard ways are off, and I pick up my odds bet behind the pass line. So if the game's going on and you feel like, hey, I want a couple place bets, I'll increase my odds bet behind the pass line. That's something else you can do between rolls. You just hit six and eight for $21, and you say, hey, I'm going to put $20 behind the odds. I'm going to add to my odds, you know? So no matter what people say about their systems, pass line systems, we have that 1-3-2-1 craps. One of our listeners won some money and actually texted me. I really appreciated that, saying that at Ellis Island, they played 3-2-1 craps and left there with some nice change, you know, good for them. But any system needs a dice to cooperate. You know, there's no guarantees. But remember, if you're going to play the pass line, why don't you just build that system around a pass line bet and the odds bet behind the pass line? Because there is no better bet in terms of payout. The casino is paying you true odds than the odds bet behind the pass line. And you can say, well, I could buy the 4 and 10, but you got to pay a vig to do that, you know, a little fee to do that. So the odds bet behind the pass line, hey, there's no fee. All you have to do is be on the pass line for minimum, you know, and then you can play odds behind it. So that's one thing I wanted to mention today. The second thing is that I often start craps games from the don't pass. And, you know, I look at the table and I see that there's few chips out there. People look pretty sad. And you're going to say, yeah, dice have no memory. It doesn't mean anything. But I do believe in trends. And you can sometimes spot a trend when you don't see chips on the table. So I start from the down pass. And my attitude is, well, let's get the table hot again. And I'll come back to the pass line and place bets. But right now, I'm going to be on the downs. And so one of the things I do, I like to hedge the come out roll. So I'll start with $25 on the down pass and $6 on hop the reds. And of course, I would lose on a 7, but I would win on the hop bet, right? So I'd cover my $25. I'd win $26 on a $6 hop the reds bet. I would lose on an 11, you know, so I'm going to take a risk with that. I'm not going to cover that. And I might even throw in a dollar on the 12 because I would win on a 2-3. But I would just draw on the 12, so I'd lose, not the dumb pass bet, but I'd lose the $6. But I'd still be mad because when I see that 12, I want that $30, you know. Sometimes I do hedge the pass line with a $6 hop the reds bet plus a $1 12. But that's just me, you know. And I will go single odds on that. And here's what I'll do. If the number's 4 or 10, I'll put down $10 odds. And if the number's 5 or 9, I'll put down $15 odds. I win 10 on that. And if the number's 6 and 8, oh, you got to sweat that out. I'll either lift a down pass and not participate, or I won't put any odds. And when I first start, I just, even with a 6 and 8, I'll stay on the downs and I won't put any odds. So, oh, I can win if there's a 7 rolled. Is $25 minus a 6, and of course that would be $19. But that's how I start a lot of games when nobody seems to be doing well. And if I get knocked off the dumb pass, then I go to the pass line and do my thing. So with some system or another, sometimes 3-2-1 craps are in system. I love playing craps. I don't win every time, but I win a lot, and I think part of that is due to the fact that I adapt to what the table is doing. I'm not locked into one way of playing. And for the 10,000th time, If you only play craps from the pass line or just making place bets, I always say it's like playing the piano with one hand. So play with two hands. Every once in a while, go to the don'ts, because sometimes that's the only way you can win, unless you just walk away from the table because the table is ice cold. But when the table's ice cold, you do have a money-making opportunity on the don't pass line. And nobody's going to hate you for it. Nobody's going to hate you for it. All right. Well, it's that time of the day when we have to say goodbye. And remember, Casinos USA is still a place where every day is Saturday. So long. See you in a couple weeks.